This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Randy Farmer. Randy's the Chief Operating Officer of the Delaware Health Information Network. The Delaware Health Information Network has been one of the most successful health information networks in the country. So thrilled to visit with Randy today. Randy, can I get you to take a moment to introduce yourself?
Yes. Hey, Scott. Again, it's great to connect with you this morning. It's a great honor. As you said, I'm the Chief Operating Officer for the Delaware Health Information Network. I've been with the organization since 2011, just celebrated my ninth anniversary here. And prior to that, served in financial services at JPMorgan Chase, working with some of the larger credit card co-brand of relationships there, working in relationship management. And currently serve in this role in helping out with business development initiatives, our service desk, user engagement, and of course, external affairs.
And so take a moment. Not many people have been with the Health Information Network for 9 years. There's just not a lot of that out there. Talk a little bit about the Delaware Health Information Network, and let's start with a few things in the information network that work well, that you're sort of proud of.
Yeah, you know, in business, you know, you like to think about things as being where you're distinctive and where you're unique, right? And when I was in the private sector, we talked about the blue ocean, right, where you can kind of drop anchor and not see really too many other folks nearby. And if you're playing in that space and you're setting the tone in that space, you can call yourself as the segment leader, right? And I think where DIN's blue ocean is in the area of results delivery and with our community health record. We have over 150 million clinical results and messages for over 3 million patients, consumers from across the country. Now, primarily those folks are from the Mid-Atlantic region and Delaware and the surrounding border area. But of course, you know, healthcare knows no borders. So if somebody is visiting our beaches or is traveling on I-95 and needs care, they're treated by a DIN participating hospital, which is all the hospitals in the state and in the area surrounding us in Maryland, their information is going to flow into our community health record and be delivered to the folks that are providing care. So we deliver the results safely and securely. And to make it available for care providers to look up results thereafter. You know, when somebody is presenting for care at the emergency room, if they're not able to recall all aspects about their health background and some of their previous encounters or previous tests that they've had, ER doctors or ambulatory doctors look up the patient information on our community health record and have direct access at their fingertips to seeing previous results. And it's just been a tremendous help and benefit to providing care and expediting care and reducing cost.
Can you talk for a moment about, you had mentioned, which seems like in the health information network world, as important as anything, the effort to be user-friendly. Talk for a moment about what that looks like and feels like to the users of the Delaware Health Information Network.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. I mean, you know, the user can be the patient, it can be the practice manager, it can be the ER doc, right? And basically where we looked to play and to serve the needs of the care community was building a user interface that could be easy to navigate, that would be easy to navigate for whether or not you're in the ER or you're at the ambulatory practice, and allow folks to get the information that they need from lab results, transcription summaries, to previous encounters in the ER. All that information and care summaries are delivered through our network and then organized in individual patient catalogs. And really kind of making things quick in terms of like response rates, setting up service level agreements so that we are tracking the way that our folks are using our network and then delivering value and meeting their expectations. It's just at the central part of what we do. One of the most important things we've done, Scott, recently is that we've engaged our entire company into getting certified in ITIL, the ITIL framework and best practices, We started off in version 3. We're into version 4 right now. But I think anybody out there that works in IT and has worked with a growing small IT company knows is that you at a certain point, what worked before doesn't work now, and you have to deploy and inculcate a culture that is aligned with best practices in the field. And I think that that's one of the best things we've done to be better oriented at delivering value for folks that are paying us, the hospitals, labs, and radiology firms, as well as those folks that use our products and services every day.
And so, Randy, taking it a step further, you've mentioned something that's right on. Small technology firms, you know, the holy grail is all to be as easy to use as Amazon, and everybody says that they are and that they're easy to implement, but very few are. Mm-hmm. Take a moment, and not so much on just that issue, which you focus on visibility and so forth. Talk about your top three priorities at Delaware Health Information Network this next 6 to 12 months. What are the top three priorities for yourselves?
Yeah, I think one is that you never, ever, ever in business stop getting better at your strength, right? Our core distinctive area is, again, results delivery in our community health record. That's our bread and butter. We need to continue to harden that service, harden that environment, be responsive to the feedback of our customers, and continue to make that an even more distinctive service for us. The other thing here, Scott, is, of course, COVID, all things being COVID-related. Working with our leaders in our state and public health and that the executive branch and the governor's office, as well as in the General Assembly, and understanding what the needs of the state are, and deploying services that can help them and support our efforts on that front. And then third is in the area of data analytics and seeing how we can help make the data even more useful for things like clinical trials or to help the state gain insights in terms of where there are opportunities for efficiencies in the Medicaid program, as well as in consumer initiatives. So all those things right there, I would say, would be our top three focus.
And when you think about the big trends in information networks and what's going on, are the information networks growing, or are they facing more competitive challenges from other places? What do you see sort of in these information networks? In the Delaware Health Information Network, I assume, is a not-for-profit. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are. We're not for profit. But, you know, Scott, I think it's funny, regardless of the type of business that you're, whether you're a nonprofit or a for-profit, we all have the same goal. We're all in the business of making money and staying in business. I think that that's just central to really kind of any organization. You know, the funny thing about us is that while we were created by state statute and we're a nonprofit, you know, public HIE, We don't receive any support from the state for like our core operations. Occasionally there may be a grant opportunity where we'll get money from the federal government specifically for a grant, or there may be a state related project like the launch of our healthcare claims database, where the state will say, okay, we got to seed you with a little money to get that started because that's a legislative mandate. But other than that, our day-to-day operations are funded by the folks that get value from our services. So we run this, you know, just like any other business, any other nonprofit business. So and I think that's it's helpful because in the one sense is that, you know, part of our mission is serving the common good, right? Is along with, you know, the broader goal of making money, but we can often make decisions, which is kind of refreshing for me to be able to look at it, just not what the bottom line was in terms of a financial kind of impact, but also looking at like how we are serving our broader community and serving the common good. We've got a business model that works really well for us. I will say that in terms of the broader landscape of HIEs, you know, there's one way to spell HIE, but there's 100 ways to define it, or perhaps even 1,000 ways to define it. And that varies by community. And of course, that means is that the business models will vary. And I think that's part of the complexity here in terms of how this business, quote unquote, the health information exchange landscape is really unique and distinctive in terms of like other businesses, and why it is such a challenge, I guess, and with some of the HIEs becoming self-sustaining like we are. We've been self-sustaining since 2012. The competitive landscape is shifting. You're getting bigger players out there, you know, large commercial players like the Apples and the Googles and whatnot. And of course you have the EMRs that are diversifying their services. But the other thing that I found out there, Scott, is that, you know, this business is really, really hard. And for somebody to kind of come in and do results delivery when we've been basically doing it for 13 years and then 10 years before then defining what we were going to be. So we basically have been at this for like 23 years. It's really hard for like a new player to come in without a massive influx of funding and then winning over the relationships that we've built over the years. That is one of the assets that I think players like us have in the marketplace.
It's a fascinating point because you always hear the big technology companies jumping into every different space. And then what happens is they ultimately rebound back to those spaces where there's so much money and so much opportunity that they could put those resources into. And so like the Amazon Web Services ended up being a massive business for them because there's so much money in it. And so it was worth them doubling down to become just great at it. Whereas the local relationship-based businesses that are both, you have to be so into the data, so close with your customers, so close with your providers, so close with your network, it's harder to duplicate that even though they bring the app or the Amazon or whatever name to it. It's harder to do that in a local market without deploying lots and lots of labor locally, which they don't want to do. And so it's a fascinating point you make about the competitive sort of situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where I think also we need to develop those relationships with like the stakeholders in the state, because it's not at all inconceivable that one of those big players with a bag full of money could come into any particular hospital system and just throw down, you know, a deal that would be very hard for them to refuse. But there's nothing quite like having your friend and neighbor taking care of your healthcare data with a mandate from the General Assembly and the Governor's Office to say, you are our health information exchange and you are going to serve the common good. So one of the things that I felt like we have done really well over the last 3-4 years is tell our story to the state leaders, building relationships with our legislative affairs folks. We've actually hired a professional quote unquote lobbyist, advocates, that know the General Assembly landscape and have leveraged that resource to, again, build better relationships, to help tell our story. And it's a different kind of dynamic when they know your name. You run into these folks at, like, you know, any of the hardware stores or the restaurants and whatnot, and they connect with you in a different way. And then when the crisis like COVID happens and you're there to deliver, one of the things that we did recently was we helped enrich the data that was coming in from the field test of COVID-19 field test. Folks weren't filling out all the information, and the governor's office was curious about like the disparate impact on certain ethnicities and communities. And because we have this vast database, we were able to take an integration and have those tests flow through our system, enrich them with the demographic data that was missing, and then forward that on to public health and allow them to do the analysis that they need to do. So, you know, when you deliver like that after having established relationships and having made a promise to deliver, it goes a long way.
And it makes it hard for somebody to switch because it reinforces, oh, my God, when we have a problem, these guys can solve it. They solve what we're trying to solve. And that's the greatest constant win in business and what you do. Anyways, Randy, just a pleasure to visit with you. Just very interesting on what you do with the Delaware Health Information Network and the great success that you've had. It's so fascinating. Thank you so much for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast today.
My pleasure, Scott. Best wishes.